Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment, 9 December, the year of our Lord 2019. It's episode 63. We're live here on Capitol Hill on a dreary Monday to start off a historic day on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, Nationwide, America's Voice.news, throughout the world, and Newsmax TV. Now, in 70 million homes, the fastest growing news cable operation in the country. I'm very honored to have as our very special in-studio guest today, the one, the only, Chris Ruddy, the founder of Newsmax and the CEO. We've got Raheem Kassam. Big day, big week for Raheem this week, not just the War Room impeachment, but also the vote in the United Kingdom. We're probably going to do a special sometime later this week, maybe Wednesday and Thursday. Jason Miller, the chief strategist for the Trump campaign, communications, and on the transition. And two gentlemen, and Raheem and Jason, who know how to run a war room. And we know that for the fact that it was 10% of the president's tweets yesterday on the on this historic Sunday afternoon tweet. He was on a roll, right? It was over 110 tweets.
105 tweets from President Trump yesterday. Nine of them, just under 10%, were about war room impeachment, which I think is a great testament to the work that we've been doing here on the show, not just the editorial leadership from Raheem, but the research that Greg Manns and Jack Maxey are doing, but also the fact that 7 days a week, sometimes multiple times a day, we are bringing the heat on war room impeachment with big league guests. Every single day we have Chris Ruddy. We have another special guest in the second half of the show. We're not going to stop until President Trump is acquitted.
Here's what I like about the show over the last Friday. We had Tony Tsayag, who just was fantastic, a half hour laying out. You know, he's the new strategist over there helping Kellyanne and the team on the communication side with Pam Bondi. Just did a great job laying out the president's, strategy and the focus. But then Sunday, to have Peter Navarro, and this I think so important for the president's allies, and particularly on the communication side. Navarro had an entire hour with you to go through the president's economic plan and the convergence of forces to really take that jobs report on Friday and drill down on it, how it's really the action of Trump, that it's all coming together. It was pretty amazing. I think it's the first time. And if the mainstream media would just not sit there and be in the attack mode, the American people could then balance. And that's why I think this is a comparison of the Trump program for action. I agree with you that I'm so glad that he never backed off one inch, that the call was perfect, because it ties right into the economic plan. He's looking at every penny that the American taxpayer puts forward in national security and foreign aid. So it's very impressive. We're going to jump to Raheem in 1 second, but I want to welcome in Chris Ruddy thank you for coming here and helping us get this show up throughout the country. I've had so much great feedback from people watching on Newsmax. You guys are on fire. As President Trump would say, you're hot. You're hot.
Steve, people love what you guys are doing, what you're doing, and I think it's one of the most important things we're doing on Newsmax TV right now. We're not only airing this every day live at 9 a.m. into 70 million homes. We then take the weekend show, War Room, the impeachment, the weekend show, and we're airing it five times on Saturday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning. We're doing it Monday night again. We really think this is a war for the hearts and minds of the American people. This is not a legal act. This was a political act done by Nancy Pelosi. I said that to the president the day after she announced this. We had a phone call. And everything that's happened since then, they still haven't, after all of this, named one law the president broke. Name the law. There's a statute. When you go in and you're tried in a crime, none of us, I think, are lawyers here, but we do know that if you go into court, they have to actually name the specific law that you violated. They don't have it.
Isn't that one of the, we're going to jump to Raheem in a second. Isn't that one of the aspects today, what they're doing? And Raheem, just jump in here.
We do have live, it appears a commotion is being created in the Judiciary Committee as it gavels in right now. Looks like one of the InfoWars reporters is screaming at Jerry Nadler from the back of the room and has been just escorted out by police, but it caused some fracas in there.
Wow. big start today. What today is, they've actually going to lay out there, to Chris's point, there's no crime here. But today, the progressive left, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, is going to try to, they want more charges. They want to go back to the Mueller report. They want to do all this. They don't want to just focus on this narrow casting of what happened on Ukraine. So today could be a little bit of a rumble with inside here. Plus, you've got like, what, 28 members on this Judiciary Committee. It's going to take all day. We're going to be here. We're going to do an evening show also. Besides, we're having a three-hour Vox Populi call-in from around the country and the world that's going to follow this 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Do you guys ever sleep?
Yeah, that's the hardest working team in showbiz. You got to make, you got to do it. You got to do it when it's hot, right? So, yeah, but let's go back to this thing. I want to set the stage for people today.
Yeah, so Steve, Chris was exactly right in the fact that Democrats have failed thus far to come up with any law that President Trump has broken.
So there's no crime.
There's no crime scene
and there's no crime.
And in fact, the hill that Democrats chose to die on last Wednesday when they had Professor Palooza was that an impeachable offense does not have to be a criminal offense, which I don't think is going to pass muster with the American people. So if you're at home or if you're catching up on this later on the podcast, what you need to know about today's hearings, aside from a gentleman being escorted out for having yelled at Chairman Nadler, nothing new is going to be presented today. There will not be a single allegation of criminal illegality or proof thereof that will be on display. And in fact, not only you're not going to hear any of the testimony from Jonathan Turley, the Democrats won't be presenting any of that for that completely clear the president. And here's the backlash. Here's the real world impact of these 31 Democrat districts in where Trump won in 2016.
The dirty 30, right, including two in this radio audience immediately, which is Virginia 7 and Virginia 2 in the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Right. There's new quarterly polling out this morning from Firehouse Strategies, a Republican polling firm. They do it with our strategy firm. They do it with Optimus, which is a respected pollster, saying that President Trump now, the gains he has made over the last couple months, he's now beating every Democrat in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. He wasn't a quarter ago, but again, literally every Democrat in the field, Trump beats him in those states. He's going to get reelected.
Jason, this is really, that's really key to those battleground states. Marquette University did an independent poll, and they had the president leading every single Democrat in Wisconsin. So this is backfiring on the Democrats. You know, you mentioned the professors that all gave their, the legal scholars. This professor, Claren, got up and she said he committed a high crime. So I'm listening. Where's the high crime? She said he wanted the Bidens investigated and asked for a political favor. A favor, though, and she quoted the president, a favor, though. Look at the transcript. When the president says, I need a favor, it has nothing to do with the Bidens. It was about investigating the DNC hacking of their servers. That is perfectly legitimate as the chief law enforcement officer of the nation for him to ask that. So they keep manipulating the facts. This is why the president keeps saying, look at the transcript, because actually the transcript is pretty good for him.
Do you think they go broad today? Do you think the pressure is going to be on the Democrats to include Mueller, to include other things? Because right now they're looking at bribery. They're looking at abuse of power. They're looking at obstruction of Congress and obstruction of justice. You got three or four they're looking at. Do you think they try to broaden the obstruction charges to bring Mueller and other elements to make their heads blow up?
They're trying to throw the kitchen sink at the guy because they know that what they've already thrown at him is not sticking. And we just talked about the poll numbers. It's actually having the reverse. So now they're going back to Mueller. You and I followed that very carefully at the time, as well as Jason. There's nothing to the Mueller report. This president, they say, keeps saying obstruction of justice. They found no Russian collusion, which was the reason for the $50 million in investigation. And then they said he may have obstructed justice. This is a guy that waived executive privilege. No other president has done this in modern times.
Oh boy, do I know that. No, but I mean, and I was one of the guys at the time said, are you sure this is logical? No, he wanted all the information up there. He wanted up there right away to get it, so get it in back of America so that America could then move on. Everything he's done has been to really cooperate. And now I think it's logical why you have to have executive privilege. I think as a precedent, that's why you can't have the Secretary of State. That's why you can't have Mulvaney. This is setting a precedent you don't want to do.
Well, and again, nothing that's going to happen today is going to change the fact that by the end of this week, Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee will have completed their articles of impeachment to go after President Trump, and they will force this vote in advance of Christmas. That's coming. It doesn't matter anything that happens today. And that's, I think, a bit because the Democratic caucus has a multi-personality disorder right now where they can't figure out exactly what to do, but Pelosi is so beholden to her base, she's going to ramrod this thing in.
We've got about 30 seconds before we jump to commercial. Would you give us a set the table here?
Well, the lead story of the site goes to what you guys are saying. The moderate Democrats who feel frustrated by this whole process and are talking about, we don't want four articles of impeachment. We can see maybe two articles, but the evidence, they say, I mean, quote, the evidence does not support impeachment at this point. These are anonymous moderate Democrats in the House talking to CNN.
Okay, we're going to follow this tightly all day. This is the fight today is among the Democratic Party. Do they broaden this for all the crazies on the left that want to go after him for everything, or do they? Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break, come back with Chris Ruddy, War Room Impeachment. We're going to talk about the IG report. We return on War Room Impeachment on a historic day on Capitol Hill.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
War Room Impeachment are live on Capitol Hill. It's episode 63, historic day in our nation's capital. They're now beginning the Judiciary Committee hearings to bring the evidence that's going to lead to the charges, lead to the articles of impeachment. That vote will probably take place, as we've said all along, Friday or Saturday. They will send it to the House Speaker for a floor debate next week. So you got 2 weeks of insanity here on Capitol Hill as President Trump's going about the business of the nation on the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Broadcast Radio Network nationwide, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable operation, news operation in the country, now passing 70 million homes. The founder and CEO, Chris Ruddy, joins us. Raheem Ghassam, Jason Miller, my two wingmen. Raheem, can you update us before I flip it to Chris, because I want to talk about the IG report.
So the Judiciary Committee is gaveled in, and there was a small protest by
Brother Alex Jones and the forces.
InfoWars reporter.
The special forces landed and got shot up.
I believe we're expecting about 8 hours of this today. And the way it's going to go, the Republicans have a new council up there today.
Is Castor not going to present?
It is not going to be Castor.
So Goldman's going to present on one side?
It is going to be Ashley Hurt Callen is asking questions on behalf of the Republicans today, and we're just getting started with the comments from the Democrat Council right now. Jerry Nadler opened the hearing by talking about the president. I mean, his focal point was the president is out to do himself personal favors, and that's the narrative that the Judiciary Committee is trying to create as they focus group this.
Have they not, Mr. Jason Miller?
Absolutely. This entire exercise is very political, and one of the things in PR and campaign talk we talk about is bracketing. What is bracketing? That's when you set up an event to directly step on an event that your opponent is having, or to do it around it. So today, and this goes right into
there are no Chris, coincidences. Today, you think today was
today is the release of the IG report, which I want to get it to Chris to talk about. So the Democrats specifically scheduled this this hearing to try to step on that.
You're so cynical. Do you think they could have done it tomorrow? They could have done it Wednesday.
They could have done it last week.
Nancy Pelosi, when the president was giving that great speech in Normandy, she leaks to Politico that she doesn't want him impeached. She wants him in jail. So that was the headline.
Right.
She knew it would rattle him.
Right.
And then on the day he gives that important speech to the United Nations, she announces the impeachment. She couldn't wait 24 hours?
At 5 o'clock. Had to do
so
it.
They're great at bracketing.
The speech in the United Nations that laid out the case for nationalism, laid out the case for the Westphalian system, one of his best speeches. She's got at 4 or 5 o'clock, take the thing and say, we're starting an inquiry.
They're clever. But, you know, they're clever by half, right? I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of this is backfiring on them. The IG report, I don't know what's in it. I mean, I've read reports that it has nothing. The president has tweeted, I believe, that there's going to be some bombshell revelations. We know, as a matter of fact, that FBI agents like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were texting each other about how they were going to stop the Trump campaign. And they openly talked about a thing they called the Prudential Plan. They talk about this in their official text to one another, that if Trump, by any figment of the imagination, were to actually win the election, they could implement the Prudential Plan, which was to accelerate the ongoing investigation of his campaign and ties with Russia. This was actually openly discussed. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what Horowitz has to report at the IG.
What about this whole thing about the origins, the Chris's point, that one of the things it looks like is being leaked out or implied is that they were correct institutionally to start this investigation. Now, people may have made some mistakes. There may be some filing problems in FISA. I mean, they're trying to do the Ben Smith, which is the Ben Smithing, which is nothing to see here. That's already been talked about. But the key thing, and I think this is going to make the president's head blow up, that the justification for why it was started.
Right, and I'd even take it a step further and say this is the Obi-Wan Kenobi, these are not the droids you're looking for type routine that they're trying to play. But what, so the media right now is trying to say that no matter what, there's nothing interesting today. There are no acts of political motivation. Forget Page, forget Strzok, forget the fact that FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith, his next tailored suit will be all orange. He is going to prison because he intentionally doctored FISA warrant applications to get things going. Now, the new news, what's popping up in this last night, is Attorney General Barr further unredacted some of the information surrounding Christopher Steele, who is behind this dodgy dossier that helped get the whole Mueller report going. So we're going to find out more information about that today. That is key. So no matter what the media, how they try to whitewash this, we're going to see actual criminal illegality, and we're going to find out the political motivations to some of this.
You know, the shame of this is the FBI is a great institution. It's done incredible work protecting the American people. I would venture to say, and Steve, you probably heard, every FBI agent I've ever met said they voted for Trump. So they probably got 70% of the vote.
At the agent level.
Yeah, well, the FBI is a good institution. I think Comey made it a very political institution. He gave that press conference on Hillary's email server. Why it broke all FBI rules. He then opened the investigation, which actually helped the president that week, having that investigation opened the week before the election. Why he was doing all these things, which were very political, still unclear. But I think we need to make sure the public doesn't brand the FBI as an institution in a negative light. I think they're good guys. But
what happens if institutionally – you've got problems. You're saying that this is really – because I've been calling for a long time, and people are starting to pick – I've been calling for a church commission on the FBI and the CIA. I think this thing's gotten so out of control institutionally for the good of the institutions. Just like back in the 70s when you had the assassinations, you had – there wasn't accountability to more than the executive branch. The legislative branch had gotten out of the loop, and that's what set up all the checks and balances we had here. I've been calling for this for a while. Institutionally, particularly the viewers of Newsmax. So you got some great hosts, but they're firebrands. So today in Newsmax land, when this thing comes out, what is your audience? Because you got the Wayne Allen roots. I mean, you got some guys that bring the heat. Right?
Well, if there are revelations in there, we are going to be talking about them. We're not going to downplay them. We're going to be talking about them. And we have people like Wayne Root. Joe Pax is one of the biggest hosts in the country. We have him on. We have a great lineup. Howie Carr out of Boston. He's the number one New England host.
Love Howie.
I think it was very pivotal for the president to win that election in New Hampshire, because remember, the president was behind in Iowa, came into New Hampshire. Howie Carr was in 16 radio stations. Thank God for Howie.
But are these guys are fire breathers. Are they? What are they looking for at this IG report today? And will the air come out a little bit if certain things are not developed in that report?
I think
people are looking for criminal referrals. Let's cut to the chase, right? Or are we going to see that? If we don't see it, is Howie Carr and Wayne Roots and Joe Pags and these guys going to say, you know, this is part of the witch hunt?
Well, I think Jason hit it on the head that we were looking to see if there was any malfeasance by officials to try to force an investigation. What was the basis of initially starting the Russian collusion?
The key.
The basis was of the thing called the Steele Report, which was paid by political donors for $10 million by the DNC, that the fact the FBI used that as the basis to open a criminal investigation of the Trump campaign, to me, is shocking. And that I agree with Steve on that very fact. There should have been congressional hearings about the basis of that.
Let me give you quickly for a commercial break. Did the Democrats know there's some problem in the IG report? That's why they bracketed today, and Barr releasing more information is trying to throw some gasoline on top of this?
I think so. And no matter what, we're going to see at least one person, this former FBI lawyer, Kevin Kleinsmith, who's going to jail from this. They can't say he was an intern. They can't say he was some low-level flunky. He is actually going to jail for lying to get a FISA warrant, which is a huge deal legally.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break, and I was going to get to Raheem. Raheem, we'll get to you right when we get back from the break. Short commercial break, War Room Impeachment, Chris Ruddy, Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam. It's a historic day on Capitol Hill. Warroom.org is the website. You can get information there 24 hours a day. The President of the United States was kind enough to tweet out 11 in a row, I think, yesterday, right?
Nine of us.
Nine. It was just 9% or whatever it was. So we'll be back in a second on War Room Impeachment Live.
War Room Impeachment with Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 9 December, the year of our Lord, 2019, episode 63. We're live from Capitol Hill on a historic day. Testimony has begun to the Judiciary Committee on the impeachment of Donald J. Trump, the 45th President of the United States. The committee will then draft the articles of impeachment. This will go all day today. Also, the IG report will be here. Chris Ruddy, the founder of Newsmax TV, is here on the John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting Radio Network, America's Voice.News, and now Newsmax TV, fastest growing news cable operation in the country. With all of this going on, the IG report, the testimony today, my wingman Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller were honored now to have a very special guest doing an additional investigation. And this individual knows about investigations. He's the Elliot Ness of his generation. It is America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani, thank you very much. We're very honored for you to join us, given you're just back from your investigation trip.
Mr. Mayor, thank I want to dive in right away. Gone through, watched the first two episodes, followed all of your tweets. I think to really encapsulate this into five key points for the Giuliani investigation, I want to lay those out and then have you react to them. This is the way that I interpret it from doing the deep dive. Number one, the President Trump's 2016 campaign was illegally interfered with due to the made-up story that's made its way into the disproven Steele dossier that helped launch this whole Russia hoax. Number two, the possible Ukrainian mismanagement or outright theft of up to $5.3 billion in U.S. foreign aid to Ukraine during the Obama-Biden presidency. Number three, the possible direct interference of former Vice President Joe Biden in Ukrainian anti-corruption efforts, or maybe in this case, the pro-corruption efforts in that country. Number four, the obscene amount of money former Vice President Biden's son Hunter made with no relevant experience during his time while his dad was the point person for Ukraine. And then point number five, Mr. Mayor, that I pulled away, the concern that former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, may have covered up this corruption and that she might not have been truthful in her dealings before Congress. Is that an accurate description of what you found,
that
Mr.
Is,
Mayor, and where should
pretty,
we go
that
to
is,
next?
That is pretty close to a straight-on accurate description. Yes.
Okay, so take us through what you found in this trip this last week to Ukraine, because we've seen the media commentary. We've seen people saying, what is Mayor Giuliani doing? Tell us about how you're getting to the bottom of this and how you're putting forward such explosive material that's going to turn the institution on its head.
Well, here's the whole purpose of it and the whole purpose of my original investigation involving Ukraine. This information came to me over a year ago from people totally uninvolved in this, professionals, investigators, who told me that there was a much worse situation in Ukraine than there was in Russia, that Russia was a dodge, a made-up situation, but that there had been substantial collusion in Ukraine and a tremendous amount of corruption. The two things overlapped, and that Biden was a key player not only in the situation with his son, which I didn't even know about originally, but particularly with regard to getting a collusion investigation quashed. And also there were some allegations that he funneled illegal money to the Clinton campaign through several oligarchs. So obviously I was going to investigate as a lawyer. I never investigated at any time, including now, to affect the 2020 election. I could care less at this point about the 2020 election. My job is to defend my client, and that's why I was there now. I hadn't gone there before. I interviewed about 20 witnesses way back last January, February, and March. I thought I had made an overwhelming case of bribery on the part of Biden, only to be met by vicious, ridiculous, lying attacks trying to make me out a criminal. Which
Mr. Mayor, let Chris Ruddy jump in real quick here.
Mayor Giuliani, I am, full disclosure, I'm a fan of Rudy Giuliani. You know, when you remember, Steve, when the dark days of that Mueller investigation was dragging on for a year, the president was very depressed. Rudy Giuliani came in, rescued our friend, turned that whole case around. He was absolved. Amen. So the media hates this guy because he's been the number one defense for the president. We're seeing constantly, I said that there was no evidence of any crime, no law that was broken. There's reports now in the Washington Post, New York Times. They do these long profiles of Rudy Giuliani today. And, Mayor, maybe
that's
you could comment on
that. That's just a coincidence. By the way, Mayor, right before you get there, we've got to take another short commercial break. We're going to return. If you can please hang on, we want to get to this. Because the New York Times, and you know, nothing's a coincidence. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal today, knowing you were coming on War Room Impeachment, laid out two from page one profiles of you. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're on War Room Impeachment. Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, the Elliot Ness of his generation, has done his own investigation. He's reporting back here. We've got Chris Ruddy, Jason Miller. Be back in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, episode 63. Chris Ruddy, the founder of Newsmax, CEO, joins us in the newsroom with Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We've got America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, on the phone on his investigation. Before we get back to the mayor, real quickly, Raheem, what's the sense in the room right now, the Judiciary Committee's meeting? Is it, it's got the proper decorum?
There is not proper decorum in that room. Of course, we opened up with a shouty protester from InfoWars that went on to become shouting between the two sides, the majority and the minority. Jerry Nadler repeatedly having to bang down the gavel as Republicans tried to repeatedly interject and call parliamentary motions and all sorts of things to ascertain what the actual process of today is going to be. Of course, the Democrats have run this quite secretively and have been changing a lot of the rules as they've gone along. The Republicans not standing for it, at least in the sense that they're willing to interject and make it publicly well known. We're now coming to a little bit more of a quiet point as Barry Burke, the majority counsel, lays out his case.
Starting at 10 o'clock for 3 hours, we'll be doing live commentary. Also, Vox Populi taking all your calls from throughout the nation and the world at 888-480-5646. I want to turn to Chris Ruddy. You had a question for the mayor before he left.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Just following up, Mayor, you know, they keep saying that you're being investigated in all these press reports, but I've looked at every one of these press reports. I haven't seen any evidence you broke any law. Nor do they cite any law that you broke. There's no specifics at all. Why do you believe that they're doing this to you?
They're doing it in order to stop me from commenting, stop me from defending him. After all, I am his lawyer. They actually intercepted my telephone calls. Completely illegal. Horrific, actually.
Are you shocked that AT&T turned over those records without notifying you?
I would think they would. Everybody in America knows that I'm the president's lawyer, and any intelligent person in America has heard of the attorney-client privilege. I would think they would have at least gone to court to try to find out if they were violating the attorney-client privilege. However, every single thing they've mentioned is a total piece of nonsense. They claim that I'm acting as a lobbyist. I've never acted as a lobbyist in my life. I have clear proof to the contrary, and the Southern District won't acknowledge it. It just leaked.
And
however,
Mr. that
Mayor, is really my point in being on. My point in being on is not to defend myself. It's to point out that the evidence in Ukraine is overwhelming.
Okay, these are Mayor Giuliani, Steve, I'm going to pass to Jason. These are explosive charges. You've just made six explosive charges, including the fact that money was funneled to the Clinton campaign, which we saw last week was happening actively by foreign agents. Jason, do you want to go back and walk the question?
So I can walk you through them. I can tell you the quality of proof. Some are clearer than others, but they're all a lot clearer than anything Schiff has presented in the last 2 weeks. There's no hearsay, speculation. I might have heard, I could have heard. Let's take the main one. Let's take the bribe that Biden paid. It is documented on tape. It's documented with telephone calls, numerous ones. It's documented with an eyewitness called Shokin, who they call corrupt. I searched his entire file. He's never had a charge of corruption in his whole life. ever. That is rather unusual in Ukraine. Joe Biden's kid can't say the same thing, nor can his brother, for that matter. If this guy is dirty, he's the worst dirty guy I ever saw because he has no money. He has a stellar record. And even if he is dirty, how do you think we convict crooks? I mean, we convicted John Gotti with Sammy the Bull. We corroborate the testimony of the crooked people testifying against the crooks they're testifying against. So we corroborate Shokin with tape recordings with two other prosecutors who can be direct witnesses. I just counted three witnesses, a tape recording and a confession in a bribery case. And it wasn't just to get his son off, Steve. He did get his son off, and he tells the stupid story. He didn't know his son was involved in the investigation. There are telephone calls that prove it. There are records that prove that he's lying. Second, he also got off a man named Mykola Zloshevsky, who was one of the most crooked men, Russian-oriented crooked man in Ukraine. He ran away with $5 billion. He wanted to keep his company, so he hired Biden's son and Kerry's stepson to protect his company. He didn't pay them $5 to $8 million in order to help him with the company.
That's Teresa Hines's son, correct? This is the other partner to the Biden,
yeah,
to Biden's son.
He pulled out. Now, to his credit, he pulled out. But Zloshevsky's purchase was of the son of the vice president and the stepson of the Secretary of State. And the vice president was the man who was handing out the billions and billions of dollars in Ukraine. And you watch where that money went, and a lot of it went in Burisma's favor. Not only that, Zloshevsky was a fugitive. He was declared a fugitive legally by Ukraine, by Shokin, who's supposed to be corrupt, right?
Mr. Mayor,
Zloshevsky is now back in Ukraine. He has kept his $5 billion. He's kept his business because Biden's bribery got him out of the case also. And he is alleged to have paid a bribe to the president of the Ukraine, a good friend of Biden's. That is an amount of money that is in dispute, but it begins at about $20 million.
Mr. Mayor, there's an explosive part of the specials that you've been doing that I want to make sure we talk about. These allegations here that former Ambassador Taylor, State Department official George Kent have been stopping these Ukrainian officials from being able to leave the country to come to the U.S. to tell the truth about what's been going on here. What can you tell us about what you found?
Well, I can prove it. I have the documents now. They've been doing it for about 2 or 3 years. The U.S. Embassy there was deeply involved in the 2016 election. They were helping the funneling of dirty information, including a phony created black ledger concerning Manafort, which turns out to be a complete fraud. And I have witnesses who can prove that it's a fraud. The United States Embassy will not allow those witnesses to come to the United States. The present United States Embassy. She did it. Yovanovitch did it. And she lied under oath.
Mayor,
she
we're going to have
stop.
Mayor, we've
she
got a hard stop. Go
sorry.
Ahead, sir. No, go ahead.
I was going to say she stopped Shokin from coming last year, saying he was on a corruption list. I have the underlying document. It says she stopped him because he had had an operation 2 years earlier. It says nothing about corruption, and there is no corruption list.
Mayor, we've committed perjury. We've got to go to a break. If you can hold, we'd like to just bring you back for the last segment. It'll be like
good.
2 minutes. War Room Impeachment, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Chris Ruddy.
I'll call you right back.
We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll return with Raheem Ghassam, Jason Miller, myself in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Ghassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on War Room Impeachment, episode 63. We're live on a historic day on Capitol Hill. Raheem Ghassam, Jason Miller, Chris Ruddy, Steve Bannon. We've got the mayor back on. Jason, we got a couple of minutes. Let's cut to the heart of what Mayor Giuliani's telling the nation right now.
Yeah, Mayor Giuliani, your work on behalf of your client, President Trump, has been, I think there's been a fantastic investigation. It's so much information. We're obviously going to have everything that you're putting out on warroom.org, our website. When can we expect to see this report that's been teased that you might be giving to Congress or to law enforcement officials here? When can we expect to see that, and where exactly will we see it?
I was going to do an outline of it and try to present it at the convenience of the Republicans in Congress and the Attorney General at the end of this week. I should probably have it ready on Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know exactly when it'll be made public, but it should be ready by then. I worked on it all weekend. Let me tell you the one thing that was the biggest surprise. I mean, two big surprises. Big surprise number one was I have an audit report from 2017 from the Independent Accounting Office of Ukraine questioning the spending of $5.3 billion of our dollars. In other words, they're saying for us that we're wasting our money in certain respects. And they have all kinds of things that range from big gifts that were purchased for people to just little trips. But it amounts to $5.3 billion. And I know the president is going to probably get really hot about this. I haven't been able to describe it to him in person. But it makes everything he did absolutely justified. The police in Ukraine began investigating it because they wanted to be able to justify to us or to explain to us, because they thought we were going to be really angry about the wasting of this money. And two or three people from the embassy, on behalf of Ambassador Yovanovitch, visited the police and told them not to worry. We weren't concerned about the spending of the money.
Wow. Well, you've got documentary evidence of that?
I got the report in my file.
Mayor, we've got a hard stop, but I want to ask you one question. You say the report, your draft report's going to be done by Wednesday. Are you demanding to meet with the Republicans before the vote in the Judiciary Committee for the three articles or four articles of impeachment of the President of the United States?
Well, I certainly would like to. I think it would really bear on the fact that the president not only was justified in making this call, the president was required to make this call. The people in Ukraine told me that they are very thankful to President Trump because he's the first American president that finally pointed out the corruption correctly. And what they meant by that is that the United States is involved in it. And they also told me that during the Obama administration, it got much worse, particularly because Biden was going around lecturing them on corruption, and everybody knew the corrupt deal that he had with his son.
Exporting American crony capitalism and corruption.
It was a total phony.
Mayor, we've got to go. We want to be the ones that help you break that huge story when your report comes out on Wednesday. Elliot Ness of his generation, America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, on the Giuliani investigation and the corruption in Ukraine, the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, all coming out this Wednesday. Mayor, thank you very much. Chris Ruddy, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve. Great show.
And thank you for picking
great
up.
Great job, Mayor.
Okay, we're going to do Vox Populi for 3 hours, where Raheem Kassam gives us updates for the next 3 hours here live. 888-480-5646. War Room Impeachment will continue after a short commercial break. Guys, I want to thank you. Fantastic job with Mayor Giuliani. See you in a few minutes on Vox Populi.